shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
You're smoking crack!
Feels like I haven't talked to you guys in ages. Maybe it's just been a week or so. What is going on? It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports. I hope you're ready to get those NHL comments in, because you can join the conversation anytime on World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. The World Juniors are coming up. What are we now? Month and a half away? Less than that? We're excited, to say the least. Hey, if you're heading to the rink, though, Lord Co., I'm telling you, they're going to make sure you got everything you need for a smooth ride. We're getting a ton of snow in Edmonton, and if you don't stop at Lord Co. Auto Parts, you're not thinking ahead. You got to do more. From bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes, to battery maintainers that are going to make sure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. Visit a Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts, and accessories. Visit lordco.com to find a store near you. And they're opening a second one in Edmonton here. It's coming soon. If you're in Edmonton, though, say what's up. Join the conversation. Are you going to the soccer game later? I'm still a TBD. We got great tickets to it, but man, it's cold. And I mean, you can call me soft, say whatever you want. If you're braving it out there tonight to watch soccer, you are one tough SOB. On the show today, we are going to catch you up with Adam Ehrmantraut. Of course, a lot of NHL stuff to get through. PK Subban, did he just end another season? Sammy Blais, done for the year. Out in New York, that's a tough one. That's a tough one if you're Sammy Blais. And if you're the Rangers in general, just knowing how valuable that guy is to him. Tim Peel chimed in. We will get to that. Then Eric Krause. Maybe we'll talk some Caps in about 20 minutes time. And we will preview Oilers and Jets. That's coming up later. Of course, the Jets swept him in four straight last playoffs. Maybe a little bit of revenge. Hearing from Winnipeg earlier today, obviously the keys is just, hey, the Oilers are a different team right now. They've added so many new pieces. The lineup is completely different. But also, you probably don't get Mike Smith in net. We'll dive into it all and bring aboard Adam Ehrmantraut, snapping it over to Saskatchewan. Erm, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just sitting in a parking lot in Saskatoon. There's a massive blizzard going on right now, so I pulled over to take your call.
Take my call. Wow, feeling so special. How much snow are you getting? Like, we got a foot of snow last night, and it's still snowing out there. What are you guys getting?
I'm not sure. I just saw, like, 90-kilometer-an-hour wind, so that's kind of the vibe right now. Like, I was going down Circle Drive, and speed limit's 90 or whatever, and we're going 55, just kind of as a traffic pack there. But, yeah, it's crazy right now.
And you're the one who always complains about people not being able to drive in snow, right?
It's just like, as soon as this is fine. Like, if people complain about this, but it's the people, like, as soon as the first snowfall hits, it's automatically like merges 30 kilometers an hour, which is probably more dangerous than not. So
I figured that was you driving. Hey, there's so much hockey stuff to get to, but one of the things I know you hate talking about them, it's the Leafs. And so before we get to the West, the Leafs are heating up. Like, did you expect them to kind of turn it around, or did you think they were an absolute dumpster fire off the get-go?
Yeah, like, they're a good team. I mean, but you have to look at kind of who they played. They beat Boston, which is a good win, but they beat Buffalo. They beat Vegas without anybody. They're a good team, but it's tough right now because they have pretty much one goalie that's good, and that's kind of it, right? You know, Matthews and Marner are showing up, but there's still little tendencies in their games that I don't like, and I'm sure you don't either.
That's fair. Now, another team that has been terrible, we don't need to talk about the Leafs for that long, but Vancouver. What's going on? I haven't watched a full Canucks game all season. Actually, I've seen them when they played the Oilers. Other than that, I don't think I've really watched a full game, especially of recent. But I mean, speaking of Canucks Twitter, they're absolutely freaking out. Is it rightfully so? Like, is it on Travis Green? Is it on Jim Benning? Is it on the Aquilinis? Who needs to take the fault here?
I'll go Jim Benning and the Aquilinis, just because for the Aquilinis to give a guy 10 years on this job and just have no real end in sight for Jim Benning, it's ridiculous. I mean, every kind of year he goes, yeah, we just need a couple more years to kind of figure it out here. It's like, Jim, this is your team. Like this is completely your team. It has been for about 5 years and you've kind of ruined it. I mean, I'll give him one thing. He drafts extremely well. Like, that's kind of what Jim Benning's been known for, but trades, free agent signings, like he traded for Jason Dickinson. He's got one goal in 15 games. Like, I mean, and that's supposed to be their third line center. And you could go on and on about the free agent signings and this and that, but yeah. And then Tucker Pullman's supposed to come in and be Quinn Hughes' D partner. That hasn't really worked out. They brought in Juho Lamico for whatever reason. He doesn't have a point in 15 games. Like, for Vancouver, they just have holes in their lineup that I think people ignored, because they got Connor Garland, who's been decent, but at the same time, he's kind of a independent contractor, if you would. He's kind of his own player and he can do stuff by himself, but stuff like that. And then, I mean, Ekman Larson's been fine too, but who are their bottom pairing defensemen? Kyle Burrows, and they got Juho Lamico, and still are running out Matthew Highmore. But, you know, you look at the end of the day, if Edmonton's best players weren't their best players, would they be this good? No. And Vancouver's best players have been pretty bad, to be honest. I mean, Pettersson, I think, had 3 or 4 goals. Besser has, you know, he's not really a point per game. And for what you expect from those guys, it's not good right now.
What's the bright spot in Vancouver, if there is one? Is it Thatcher Demko? Is it Nils Höglander? Because it's definitely not Quinn Hughes, and it's definitely not Elias Pettersson this year.
Yeah, so I was probably going to say Demko. I mean, he's been awesome. I think he's probably the reason that team doesn't get blown out more. I remember the Edmonton game a little earlier in the season. McDavid could have 6 goals that night, and I think he was held to 1 or just 1 assist or something. But yeah, Nils Höglander's been good too, but he's a kid, right? So, you know, as soon as guys start focusing on him, then it might get a little uglier. But yeah, Thatcher Demko, I mean, he's pretty much a lock to be on the U.S. Olympic team at this point.
Nope. Well, won't go for that one, Adam. Not going to take the bait there. Spencer Knight's going to go.
Who's your third guy?
Spencer Knight. Elbuck, really? Gibson Knight. Why would you not take Spencer Knight? He's going to be the goalie of the future. He's your third guy. I mean, his ceiling is way higher than Demko's, so why have him? You're not going to have
Demko's
to use
35.
Him. In... Demko's 25?
No, it's not like Demko's 35 and just like on his last legs here, like, you know.
No, but like, and I would say, like, if anything, Craig... you're probably swapping out Gibson for Demko.
Oh, Gibson's been awesome this year.
Than Hellebuck? I don't know. I think Hellebuck's a better starter than Gibson.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good problem to have if you're them. But if you look in Canada, we got an issue than that.
So did you listen to 32 Thoughts with Kevin Woodley?
I did not. I skipped that one.
Oh, man. You got to listen to it. Friend of the show, Kevin Woodley, was on there talking with Merrick about it. And he made a lot of interesting points. And Adam, I know you've been a part of the hockey coaching world too, so I do want your opinion on this. Is goalie coaching, is coaching in general in Canada getting so privatized that no one's rowing the boat in the same direction? And what I mean by that is, you can look at all the club settings in Europe where they're sharing information. It's one team down, like, from top to bottom. Goalie coaches are working with other goalie coaches in entire regions. And in Canada, I mean, let's just use like Saskatoon for an example. It's like, you're either Goaltech or you're GDI, or you're this, and they're not talking, they're enemies. It's all about who can make the money. It's all about who can get the most clients. It's not about working together to develop the best goalies. It's just straight business mentality.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think we could use Edmonton as an example. So Carter Hart works with, I think it's John Stevenson, that's his and Holtby's guy and all that. But so when Carter Hart goes to Philly, he's got a completely different guy telling him different things. So I think Kevin has brought this up before, where it's like, you need your goalie coach working closer with your like with your summer coach, because the goalie coaches aren't going to spend all summer with you, right? Like they'll fly in and out. But at the end of the day, if your goalie coach back home is telling you to keep your glove in a certain area that your goalie coach in with your club team doesn't agree with, then, you know, you got a lot of people in your ear at the same time. And I know like Nashville and Florida all do a really good job of it, where they have their NHL coach, their AHL coach, like goalie coaches, they got a goalie development guy where it's like, okay. And they're all kind of saying the same thing, right? Where if you go back in the summer, kind of back and forth, it's, you get a lot of people in your ear and eventually you kind of forget how to play goalie.
That's fair. It's Cody Jansen with you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta, joined by Adam Ermintrout right now. Follow us on Twitter. Adam's there at @AErmintrout. I'm there at Janet31 underscore, and the show's at World Hockey RPT. If you got a question, get it in the conversation right now. Adam, the Calgary Flames, do they have a chance to finish second in the Pacific? Or do you think they're going to tail off a little bit here? I'm not confident in them.
I mean, in the past, I'd say they'll tail off just because the Stars kind of go through a little bit of a lull in like January, February, where it's like, okay, like this. But I mean, for them, how they run their team right now and how Sutter runs it, all the credit to them, but they're not relying on one or two guys, right? Like in the past, it was a lot of Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, Gaudreau, Tkachuk. Like, you know, they're getting a lot of kind of depth scoring from a lot. And Oliver Shillington, I mean, what can you say? He's over a point per game. And I don't want to say that they're better, but I just think that they play more of a system that's not going to go through these 2-7 stretches, because they'll go into a game and say, okay, we're shutting it down 1-0 tonight. And I think that's what's made them successful so far.
That's fair. I also just don't know if that's a system that they can keep up, because come playoff time, they can't even get those two goals to win a 2-1 hockey game, right? If you talk about Sutter wants to coach 2-1 teams, well, who's getting you those two goals? Probably not going to be Mangiapane.
Yo.
Definitely not going to be Gaudreau, Monahan. I mean, those guys aren't playoff guys. So is Matthew Tkachuk going to do it for you? You know, how much can you rely on him? I don't know. I'm not sold on that team by any means. Alrighty, the Oilers. They got the Jets tonight. It's been a disappointing road trip, right? You know, you lose games to Buffalo, you lose them to Detroit. But I think on the bigger picture, you also got to consider, hey, Stuart Skinner's in net. He's probably not going to be our full-time backup for another couple of years, but we got him this experience now. Is there anything concerning you about the Oilers? I mean, I think that's a pretty gritty win against the Blues on a long road trip. You battle back. They tied it up 4-4. You could have just folded like a cheap tent, and instead Leon Draisaitl, who is the best player in the NHL right now, he comes down, makes a beautiful dish to Kyler Yamamoto, who's on the ice in the last minute of play. Look up how much Tippett trusts him, and he finds the back of the net.
Yeah. Well, for Edmonton, it's kind of weird. It's like they can beat any top team, but they can also just have these stinkers where they lose to Buffalo or Detroit or whatever you want to call it. Like, I remember a couple weeks ago, they beat Seattle, but they very well should have lost that game. So just kind of inconsistent. I mean, it seems like that's kind of the fault of good teams. I mean, Tampa loses to Detroit every now and then. It's stuff like that happens. And for Edmonton, yeah, I mean, they've played really well. And Ryan McLeod, ever since he got sent down to the minors just for a couple weeks, or he kind of came back up with a bit of a different purpose. And, you know, he's played really good. And Mikko Koskinen, say what you want about him, like, I've never seen a guy let in so many just questionable goals and then just bail himself out on others that he has no chance stopping. So I think that's part of the consistency issue. But yeah, I think the biggest concern with Edmonton right now is that, like, their fourth line, or their Derek Ryan, Kyle Turris kind of whatever, isn't really, I think they're still two forwards away and probably a defenseman. And at this stage, you know, you're running the risk like you were last year, where you run Mikko Koskinen, whatever, 95% of the games. And, you know, he kind of falters down the stretch and you're just waiting for Mike Smith to come back. So, yeah, a little worried in net as per usual. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you beat two really good St. Louis and Boston teams.
What's new? Little worried in net. Hey, one of the guys we've talked about time after time, and, you know, friend of the show, Tim Peel, he chimed in as well. PK Subban. I tweeted out that compilation and just, I mean, was not ready for that shitstorm to just take off. Tim did chime in on Subban, though, and it's unfortunate, like, a guy like Sammy Blais has his season ended. But here was Tim's comment. He said, "I can unequivocally say that PK Subban is not a dirty player. I talked with PK, and he's told me that this is just a bad habit that's crept into his game. I referred to him. I know him personally. I can guarantee you he's not trying to intentionally hurt any player." Now, I'll give my thoughts quickly here, and just to call it a bad habit, I think that's where I disagree with Tim. I've never talked to PK Subban. Tim's had more conversations with PK Subban than I ever will, so I can't speak on him as a person, but as a player, to call it a bad habit, a bad habit's picking your nose. You know, a bad habit's pissing on the toilet seat, not slew-footing guys and putting guys' ACLs at risk, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'd lean that way too. Just, I mean, whatever, you can call it a bad habit or not, you're still going to get suspended and fined every time you do it. And it's just going to keep going up. Right. And I mean, there's ways around it, right? Like, just don't, and it's easier said than done, but just don't put your skate behind another guy's skate. Right. Or don't go in the corner like that. You know, there's other ways. And for 700 NHL players not to have that habit where they aren't having whatever montage was made of them slew-footing people, then, I mean, I think PK Subban could figure it out too.
Adam, does this all end if Ryan Reeves is on the ice or on the bench in that game and he goes up to Subban and says, "We're going, you've got no question," and takes a licking out of him? Does this all end? Does PK Subban's bad habit end? That's what I want to know.
Sorry, you cut out there. What was that?
Oh, I said, does this bad habit, whatever you want to call it, end if Ryan Reeves is on the bench for the Rangers in that game or on the ice, and he goes up to Subban after that happens and says, "We're going, you have no option here." Like, it's just, we're going, you're going to get your face likely caved in by a tough guy in the league, one of the toughest in the league. Does this all end? Does PK Subban's slew foot habit end?
I think so. Like, I mean, yeah, and everybody who's ever played against a crazy tough guy like Ryan Reeves, and I mean, obviously, like, and Tom Wilson too, if they're on the ice, you notice, right? Like, you're double checking over your shoulder maybe an extra time. And for PK Subban to slew foot a guy when it's, I don't know, whoever Sammy Blais plays with, maybe Panarin or something, like, for him to do that when nobody's on the ice, yeah, sure. But, you know, if Ryan Reeves is on the ice, you're doing that, and if you do it, you're looking over your shoulder and maybe turtling right away.
Yeah, but Revo should be the first one off the bench, in my opinion. He should go and grab Subban and teach him a lesson. I think that's what stops it. $5,000, that's not a penalty. That's not a, like, that doesn't affect him. That doesn't stop him from doing that in the future. No, having your face carved in, having your nose broke, having a black eye or two, now that's an actual punishment for doing something scummy on ice, in my opinion. And maybe that's too old school for kids nowadays, but I think that's how you actually solve a problem now.
I agree. And people say that Sidney Crosby should have been fined. Like, okay, you're going to fine him 5 cents. Like, what?
That was going to be my last one for you. I want to know your thoughts on that Crosby play. Like, obviously, it was his first game back. I believe he's had a tough day. He took a puck in the face, and then he goes and just yard sales buddy behind the net. Like, everyone's like, oh, dirty play, suspend him, do this, do that. It's a dangerous play, but, I mean, they also suspend guys based on the result, and I don't think, who was it? Was it Hathaway? Who did he throw?
I think it was Martin Ferravari.
Yeah. You're completely right there. He wasn't hurt on the play.
I agree, and I was, like, literally just going to say that. If he stays down for a couple minutes, that's a 5 in a game, and Crosby gets suspended a game. Like, not even a question, really. But, you know, that's kind of a, depending on whatever position he lands in. Because, I mean, he, like, went into the boards like a lawn chair there. That was crazy, like, how he went in, but probably not a suspension, just getting the guy got up. It looks like an ugly play, and it was, but it's more so you're focused on the result.
I agree there. Hard to disagree. Trout, buddy, appreciate you hopping on. Stay safe in the snowstorm, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, boss.
Adam Ermatrout right there joining us on World Hockey Report. Ooh, music's coming in hot. Hot a little early. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report. We're going to catch you up with Eric Krause, social media, the man. the myth, the legend. He's also a big Caps fan. We'll talk Ovi. We'll talk everything else after the break. We'll talk your part, represented by Lord Coato Parts. Also, go check out DraftKings, promo code THPN. Talk to you after the break.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com. And sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
It's World Hockey Report. We are presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Visit Lord Co.'s in-store truck centers at select locations. As I said, they're getting a new one in Edmonton. You got to check it out. I'm telling you, winter weather is here. Go to Lord Co. The absolute best products, the best help, everything you need, Lord Co. Auto Parts. It's Cody Jansen, live today from the ProDoc Broadcast Studios in beautiful, snowy Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Jaren31 underscoring the show at World Hockey RPT. We now bring on our resident Caps fan, Eric Krause, to the show. Eric, I mean, we were talking about the Crosby hit. I know you got a thought on that. Let's start right there.
Yeah, I'm basically just on Ermin Trout's opinion there. I think it's sad to say, but I think if he stays down for a bit after getting, you know, yard sailed into the boards, like you said, I think you get a much bigger call, and that's probably how it shouldn't be in the NHL, but that's just the fact of the matter.
If Tom Wilson does it, what's the call?
Oh, like I made a tweet. I was like, if Tom Wilson does that, it's like a 41 game suspension or something. Like, the people would just be, social media would be insane.
I agree with that. Alrighty, so let's talk PK Subban too, because I'm sure you saw that slew foot montage. Tim Peel chimed in, and again, Tim Peel, he's talked to PK Subban more times than I ever have. I'm just not sure if I go with the bad habit. I think that a habit's something that you probably should have broke by now. But again, I'm not in those position. I'm not in those skates. What's your thoughts on Subban and his habit of slew-footing guys now?
I think anytime you get a montage made at you for slew-footing over and over again, I think that's definitely a bad look. It's hard to say, like you said, we don't talk to the players like these refs and coaches and stuff do. It's hard to say if there's any actual ill intent behind this or if it is just a bad habit. Either way, it's got to get nixed before somebody seriously gets hurt.
Well, I mean, Sammy Blais with a torn ACL, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not a head injury. I guess you are right in that regards, but it definitely is something you do want to nip in the butt sooner rather than later. Hey, I know you're a big Caps guy, so let's talk Ovechkin. What's up with this start to the season for him? Because he's not scoring goals in traditional ways. I think that's the biggest takeaway I've got so far, is he's not just sitting at the top of the circle one time in pucks. He's scoring in different fashion. Is this a 50-goal campaign potential? 45? What are you thinking for Ovi this year, and what are you liking about his game?
You know, I think he's just getting after it. I think that's the only he's won the Stanley Cup. And like, while your team, like, your goal should still be to win a Stanley Cup every season, but even like the ownership admitted that their goal is to have him break the record now. I think he's just after it. He's just hunting pucks all over the ice now. I've had arguments with people, like even yesterday, saying that he's slowing down and he's third in scoring and second in goals in the NHL. So I don't know where people are getting this notion that somehow he's reached this wall where he's slowing down. If anything, he's getting better. And yeah, 45-50 should be within reach if he keeps up this pace.
That would be crazy just for him to reach that. And obviously, I mean, you can dive into some of the things that have stopped or slowed down his career, the work stoppages, injuries, whatever it may be. But there's no denying that the pace he's on right now is incredible. Yeah, he's got 12 and 15, 26 points. I think that's, what, one less than Connor McDavid? I think it's something like that. I didn't know if you have it on the top of your head or not. But I mean, just to think about that.
Yeah, one less.
26 and 15 is absolutely insane. Now, when you look at the Caps, the biggest reason I don't think they can go on a run, it's goaltending. They don't have the goaltending for it. Am I fair in saying that, Eric?
I just have... They have two good goaltenders. I don't think anybody can debate that. I don't think they have a great goaltender. And if you want to make a deep run, you have to have a great goaltender. That's proven time and time again. I don't think either one has really proven themselves that they can be great like Holtby was when we won the Stanley Cup. That's definitely my biggest concern, for sure, is goaltending.
I do think Vanecek has a higher ceiling, am I wrong, than Samsonov? Because I'm not sold on Samsonov. I've talked with enough people that have had very minimal good things to say about him, and I don't think that he's going to be the guy to take him on a run.
Samsonov lost me last season with his playoff performance, which is funny because for the longest time he was like the next successor behind Holtby, and it wasn't even a question. And maybe I don't know much about, like, I follow the Capitals. I'll admit I don't follow the Hershey Bears, other than the fact I know they're amazing, but Vanecek for me just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, he had a great, you know, kind of bringing up. I mean, he's a good young Czech goaltender for sure. There is a lot of potential. It was also cool to see Zach Fucali get the win. I don't know if you watched the game or not. He's a friend of the show. He's a great guy. And just for him, it's not even just get the win, like the shutout. That's insane, yeah. Eric.
Yeah, I want to see Fucali have a good career. Just he had so much like almost unreal expectations, I think, coming out of junior. You know, people had him as like the next Carey Price, especially since he got drafted by Montreal. That didn't help at all.
But that's because like that's all he did was win. Man, like all this kid did was just win, win, win.
So like I feel like people need to temper expectations. He isn't old. He's not a bust. He actually, like, right now is probably where he should be coming into the prime of his career. And yeah, stepping into the show and getting a shutty in your first game.
Not bad. Jeff chimes in the conversation and says, draft research here. Where are scouts ranking Logan Cooley? I saw him in a mock draft the other day to Pitt at 10, but also saw him at 3 today to Ottawa. I think Craig Button had him as high as 2. I think that's what I saw earlier. Obviously, he's playing on the development program there. He's good. I mean, this is a nasty kid. He's committed to Notre Dame. He's going to have a good career. My thing is that if he's your number 2 pick or number 3 pick, that might be a little high. He's a left shot center, so you do need depth up the middle. I just don't know what his comparable would be. I don't think he's a Pierre-Luc Dubois or anything, Jeff, so I can't help you there. And also, thoughts on Pittsburgh prospect Valtteri Puustinen and when he's going to be NHL ready? Well, he's definitely not even American League, you know, dominant right now. He had a couple of good years in Finland, so I would say give him 2 years. I think that he's, what, 22 right now? He's a 99? So give him a couple of years, and he'll crack into the league. Eric, speaking of the East, I want your thoughts on that Metro Division right now. Is there anyone who is really, you know, kind of shocked you? Is it Philly having a half decent start? Is it the Islanders maybe, you know, rocking the boat a little bit again? What's your thoughts on the Metro?
Yeah, I think the Islanders are struggling a little bit more than people projected. My big surprise, and we talked about this before the season started, New Jersey, they're playing extremely well. They're tied there. They have one more point than the Flyers. They're sitting in fourth. And yeah. Other than that, like, I think most people probably had Carolina first or second. I know you were dogging on Washington, so it's good to see them sitting in second place.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
But yeah, just beginning the season here, I think you're seeing young talent prevail. I mean, Rangers and New Jersey both sitting third, fourth over the older teams in the East. Maybe it's the veterans having to get up to speed here, but we're 13, 14 games into the season now, so.
the Flyers are stuck with the Flames tonight, so easy win for the Flames there. And also the Panthers are at home against the Islanders, so I don't hate that one. Hey, bringing it a little bit closer to home with us right now, the Edmonton Oilers, it's an interesting road swing, right? You go 2-2 so far, you get wins over St. Louis and Boston, which you're like, hey, those are real quality wins. And then you get two losses, and they're against Buffalo and Dustin Tokarski and Detroit. Like, those are tough ones to lose, but I want your kind of breakdown. Obviously, the Oilers are going to get every team's best anytime you step on. Everyone knows what to expect, but this Oilers team, I'm seeing a lot more upside than previous years. I'm still positive. You got Koskinen, who's got a 9-15, and I think you've just gotten better in Mike Smith with when he's healthy. This is a team that really has a lot more potential than previous years.
I completely agree with you, but I also look at the standings and it scares me a bit. Like, Edmonton came out in such a tear, but they're still only 4 points. Like, I mean, it's 15 games in. It's really hard to talk about playoffs, but they're only 4 points up on being out, thinking of the tear they started on, right? But yeah, I have no concerns over Koskinen. You can pretty much put whatever goaltender you want in right now if they're going to score 5-6 a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, Koskinen, he's done better than I think a lot of people expected in Smith's absence. And the road trip, I mean, you look at the schedule going into it, 2020, you're like, hey, easy win in Buffalo, right? And then maybe probably not going to get that Boston game. And then they're kind of winning the games you expected to be tough and then losing the games you expected them to just kind of walk in and take the 2 points. So
that's crazy. I was just looking at the Pacific standings. As you said, the Oilers are only 4 points up on sixth place San Jose, or LA, pardon me, fifth place LA. Wow, that was a good one. Good reading. So, yeah, that's actually wildly close, but that shows how good the Pacific's actually been, and everyone's dogging it, but, like, man, San Jose's got 7 wins, LA's got 8, Vegas has 9, Calgary's got 8, Anaheim has 9. Damn, that's pretty close there. Hey, I don't know if you've caught too much Vancouver games. I really haven't, but obviously you're a social media guy too, and you see it all. Like, what is going on with this team? Hughes hasn't lived up to expectations for his new contract. Pettersson, I'm not sure. Hoglander's fine, but, like, did they get rid of Travis Green? Do you think he's an issue? Do you think it's Jim Benning and how he's handled assets?
Well, like you said, social media, so you could take basically anything I say with a grain of salt, because who knows if it's true or not, but you have rumors that the room was completely lost during the whole COVID fiasco last season with Vancouver. And then, yeah, it's really hard. Like, I hate pinning stuff on the coach, because that's the easiest cop out when it comes to the NHL. But it's been how many years now? They've been up, down, up, down. I think maybe a change of scenery is good, but I don't know. It just seems like they're not a cohesive unit right now at all.
I got a question for you, bringing it back to Edmonton. Who do you think finishes with more points this year, Draisaitl or McDavid?
I think Draisaitl finishes with more points.
Wow, hot take. I like it, though, I agree. I honestly, was Adam's take wrong on Twitter, in your opinion, when he said he's the second best player in the league right now and it's not even close?
I had the same take a couple of days ago.
So I don't think, stole it from you.
Yeah, I don't think it's close at all. They're insane. You watch them on the power play, and it's absolutely automatic. And then I even see you discussing with people, or it might have been Adam, I'm not sure who runs the social media, but discussing with people regarding Draisaitl's, people call them like a power play machine or power play muppet or whatever they used, but he's got 20 even strength points. He's a plus 12. You know, that's not the best metric to use, but that shows you that they are doing it 5-on-5 and not just this ridiculous power play they have.
Yeah. And like 20 even strength points is like more than the Leafs have. Their fans arguing it is just completely asinine at this point. Hey, one of the teams that maybe's turned it around too is Vegas. And I don't know if I got your take on the Eichel situation, but if he comes back and he's healthy for playoffs, does Vegas become the front runner again if they're fully healthy, or are the Oilers still in the driver's seat, you think, for the Pacific?
I'm going to go hot take here. I think if Edmonton acquires Fleury, they're 100% the favorite in the Pacific.
I don't think they can do it, though. How are they going to fit his salary cap under there? Or even if Pittsburgh or Chicago retains half of it, $3.5 million. Are you going to send back Koskinen and hope that your goalies who are an average age, if you got Florian Smith, they're an average age of what, 39?
If you're going to send back Koskinen, if they'd be willing to take Koskinen as well, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You probably got to throw in a draft pick or a prospect, so maybe they'd take a Russell contract. I don't know. It's so tough. Do you think Fleury's the only option, or do you think Korpisalo is a major upgrade?
I think Korpisalo is a major upgrade. I also think his cost might be a bit, like I said, depending on the salary retaining on Fleury's side. But I think it might, Korpisalo might cost a bit more because you got the age.
Here's a crazy one for you, and I had this argument at my place of work. Do you think Spencer Knight could be plucked out of Florida? They've still got Bob for 7 more years or 6 more years, whatever. Like, do you think there's the chance that someone could pluck Spencer Knight out of Florida for a hefty package?
Yeah, I think, because you can't, that's way too big of a contract to leave him as a backup goaltender, like Bobrovsky. And you can't have Bobrovsky stopping Knight for that many more years. So something's got to change there. And I think that contract is unmovable. I don't say many contracts are unmovable because there's so many ways around it. You saw last season with like the trade him once and then trade him again and like half the salary both times.
Yeah.
But I'd agree. I think there is a cost. It'd be very high, but you could do it.
Would you give up someone like a package of Philip Broberg, probably a Dylan Holloway or Xavier Bourgault, and a couple of first round picks and maybe Ilya Konovalov? Like, it would have to be drastic, Eric, but like, I think it's possible and I think it's almost worth it. If you are to give up three, I would call them grade A prospects in Holloway, Broberg, and Konovalov. Maybe Konovalov's not an A grade prospect, but then plus two first rounders. I think you pull the trigger. I think you would.
Well, we haven't had a franchise goaltender here in Edmonton for long as I've been watching hockey.
Dwayne Rollison.
Dwayne Rollison, yeah. Then before that was Tommy Salo, right? Like
an Olympic legend.
It's great that we got to a point as an Oilers team that we can look at trading these prospects now. And like trading a D prospect for something like that 3 years ago is just unfathomable. And now we're at a situation where you're looking to move a D guy to help your team now. Like McDavid needs to win now. I don't know if Broberg helps you win now. Knight might.
Yeah. No, I think Knight gives you a better chance than anyone hanging around in the minors. And I think that there is a 3-4 year window where if the Oilers went all in, I don't think anyone would be crazy surprised if the Oilers won 3 of the next 5 Stanley Cups, 2 of the next 5 even. Like, let's be realistic here. They've got the 2 best players in the league. They are way deeper than they've ever been. Obviously, Puljujarvi's next contract's going to come up. That's going to be a tough one to fit under the cap. But there comes a point in time where you got to put all your chips in. You can't just keep folding and hope that everyone else gets tired.
Yeah, and I know you have a short time here. I just have one more opinion on the Oilers goaltending. I think they need to do something and bring somebody in because I think having Stuart Skinner up here in like that backup role is hurting his. I want to say it's almost hurting his development. He needs to be down in the AHL playing.
This should have been a game where he was. Or this should have been a season where he was playing 50 games in the American League. Yeah. In my opinion, I think we agree that one.
Yeah, very unideal that he's up here right now for the Oilers.
Hey, I got one more for you before we let you go, Eric. And I know you follow the Dub and the Oil Kings a lot closer than I do, but obviously Sebastian Kosa, you got Dylan Gunther, you got Jake Neighbors. This team's incredible to watch. But could they have like 4 guys on the World Junior, like in the World Juniors this year? Like, who's the other kid there? They've got Kosa, they got Neighbors, they've got Gunther. Who's the 4th one?
They got not for Canada, but they got Kubicic, who will go play for Slovakia.
Czechs or Czech? Slovakia.
Czech. Yeah, one of the. I don't know. But yeah, which is disappointing because they haven't come out of the gate as strong as they should have. The Oil Kings, like, I know they have like four losses, but that's double what they had last season already. And their whole roster being pruned for the World Juniors, that's going to be tough sledding there, trying to get some more wins against teams that aren't getting completely shelled out of the
And I think the junior... that everyone does go through those down times during the World Juniors. Like, I think that's something that you kind of have to plan for. But just for Edmonton, it's not Lupe, not Sunch. Demick? I don't remember. I don't remember who the other one that everyone was talking about. Also, Jacob Boucher, you pumped his tires in the preseason a lot. I've seen him in Fort Saskatchewan. He's got 12 points in 18 games. I mean, 7 goals there. Like, this is a kid who kind of got tossed around, and now he lands on in Edmonton, and he's having a good start to the season. So good reporting by you. I'll tip my hat there, and that's where we'll leave it. Eric, thank you so much for hopping on, man. Always love the hockey takes with you.
Thank you, man. Have a good one.
Eric Krause right there. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, Krause Eric. Let's take a commercial break. We are overdue, and we got to get you set for Oilers and Jets. It's coming up tonight. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Back after a quick timeout.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com and sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
It is World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. Oilers Jets tonight. Get those predictions in at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. It's the first time these teams are going to meet for real since the Jets swept the Oilers last year in playoffs. It was close. 3-1 to overtime, but close really doesn't count for you, especially in playoff time. But hey, first off, the NHL season, it's underway. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook's not available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's how you get it done with the Hockey Podcast Network. Also, if you miss any of the show, you can download it thanks to our friends, Isha, Dylan, all the great guys over at THPN. If you're watching live on 12 Ounce Sports, join the conversation anytime. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, get those questions in. Oilers, Jets. Here's your lineup combos for tonight. For the Oilers, you got Hyman, McDavid, Puljujarvi, typical road lineup there. Second line, RNH, Drysdale, Yamamoto, McLeod, centers Fogel and Cassian on the third line, and Ryan, Hill center, Perlini, and Turris on the fourth line. Zach Cassian makes his debut. Ryan McLeod, it's a little non after a pretty good game against St. Louis. The D pairings, you got Nurse and Barry back together once again. Keith Cece on that second pairing, and Bouchard's down to the third pairing. He's going to play with Slater Cuckoo. Mikko Koskinen gets a start between the pipes. Now for the Jets, Connor Hellebuyck expected to start tonight up front. You got Scheifele between Ehlers and Kopp. You got Connor, Dubois, Wheeler. They got a good top six. I always forget about Winnipeg and how solid they are. in their top six. Like, they got a lethal power play. Third line, you got Adam Lowry with Svechnikov, Harkins, your fourth line, Nash, Vesalainen, and Toninato. That's how it is. D-Pangs, Morrissey, Schmidt, Dylan Pionk, Stanley DeMello. That's your lineups for tonight. Again, Zach Cassian makes his return to the lineup. If you got a prediction, let us know. We'll read them on Twitter if you get them in quick enough. Here's from Elliot Friedman. This is the latest on the Vancouver situation. He's hearing Vancouver owner Francesco Anchelini is going to meet with GM Jim Benning this afternoon. Neither individual will comment, but from what I understand, this is a meeting to understand why the team is losing and address it, not to make a change at the position. Well, why are they losing? They're scoring less goals. I mean, come on, Anchelini. We all know that. But also, some of the moves, like, I really expected more from Garland, from OEL. I thought they had some decent moves, and I'm sure Jim Benning does as well. But end of the day, if your stars aren't going to be your stars, you're hopeless. You need more out of your top-end players. That's where it falls. I don't think this is all on Travis Green right now. Maybe the game plan's not good enough. Sure. But is that the easy scapegoat route here? To say, okay, Brock Besser, you get a pass. Okay, Quinn Hughes, you get a pass. All right, Patterson, you get a pass. All right, Demko, you get a pass when you have a bad game. And just blame the coach? Is that the easy route you really want to see these teams taking? If it's Jim Benning and you don't like his moves, that's fine. But who are you going to replace him with that's better right now? I don't think there's many better at drafting available right now. Asset movement? Yeah, you can probably find someone who's up there. I'm not sure. I want to hear from Canucks fans, though. Let us know what you think. We got a lot of comments to get to. We will get to some of your texts as well. One last note. Luke Tardif says the IIHF and IOC, they're going to rule on November 25th whether the Chinese men's hockey team will compete in the Olympic hockey tournament. I don't know why they're waiting for so long. I don't know why they're... like, wouldn't this kind of screw over, like, TV schedules? Not ratings, really, but just, like, schedules, sponsorships, if you have to make a full-on adjustment? I don't know. Feels like that's a little late to be making this call, but again, we will let the IIHF do their thing. Back to the PK Subban Slewfoot, because I know there's a ton of comments. Hashtag Watson says, I never realized what a slew-footing machine PK was. Andrew just says PK Slewban. I'm liking that nickname. Chris says, PK, first time, long time. What it feels like to be a huge piece of work. We'll go with that. Mike says, he just quote tweeted this and said, looking at this just to prove my point. Okay, I don't know what your point is, Mike, but we'll go for that. Silver Pucker says, dear NHL player safety, who is the next victim? Do you even care? I don't know. Again, Tim Peel's comment, and I'm not going to argue with Tim. I've never talked to PK Subban. I guarantee you he's talked more than us. Said, hey, he's saying he's not a dirty player. It's a bad habit that's crept into his game. He knows that. But the NHL just hasn't dealt with it. I think that's my issue. It's that the slew foot, no one can just tell him to stop. But you can force him to stop. You can force him by having a Ryan Reeves on your team. Kyle Clifford just went on waivers. I think Clifford would deal with it pretty nicely. Is that if PK Subban is going to go around slew-footing guys, maybe you teach him an old-school lesson. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe the NHL actually steps up and suspends him for 5 games. Maybe they fine him. I guess you can't fine guys 50 grand. You can't fine guys 100 grand. I wish you could, and you should be able to. Because that would send a message. Not a $5,000 fine. Not a $10,000 fine. Not a 4-minute double minor penalty, 5-minute major. That doesn't do it anymore. Nope, you got to take the next steps. If this was once or twice, I would say, all right, that's where we start. We are way, way past that point. And I think for PK Subban, it's got to be dealt with. Walter says, if players don't step up to make him answer, then he's going to continue to do it. I fully agree, Walter. That's my point. Joe says, maybe the dirtiest player in the league. I don't know. Are we going to go with the dirtiest player? Is he really the dirtiest player in the NHL? I'm not going to say like Tom Wilson is. Who might be dirtier? Nazem Kadri? Dirty hits for sure. Dirty plays?
don't know, Chris Kreider? Don't tell Rags fans that, though. George says, whoa, it's way worse than I realized. Yeah, that's the montage. Mark says, you forgot the one where Frederick was in his kitchen. I think that's a funny quote of them chirping each other. JP says, clearly the 15K fines aren't working. I agree with that. I do agree with that wholeheartedly. Hey, if you're in the Edmonton area and you want to check out the soccer game tonight, our friend Eric does have tickets for sale in case you want to give him a shout, get some Laurelville tickets on sale. It's snowing. It's a little windy out there. It's going to be cold, but it is a once-in-a-lifetime chance, I do think, to watch the Canada men's national team take on Mexico at home. I know this isn't World Soccer Report, but yes, we are supporting Alphonso Davies and the boys in red tonight. Also, you got the Oilers-Jets. Check that one out. I mean, the Oilers, it's going to be a good battle. These teams, it's a home and home. So Thursday night, they're back here in Edmonton. But tonight, you got a chance to set the tone. If the Oilers come out buzzing and they can tuck a few early, I think it's really going to set the tone for those next two games here. Because these two wins, this could be a season changer. When you take things in a stretch of 10 games at a time, like Ken Holland does, these two are huge. Your 11-3 starts awesome, but if now you lose two against Winnipeg and you're 11-5 and you got a chance of being in fourth, maybe fifth in the Pacific, not saying they're season changers, but again, you got to heat up and you got to win those big games. Other games tonight in the NHL, you got Calgary and Philly. I already told you about that one. Philly is the favorite tonight. Not sure. I haven't checked out starting goalies yet. I don't hate Calgary on the road in Philly. I really don't. Toronto's at home against Nashville, heavy favorites, minus 210 on the money line there. Florida against the Isles, really like Florida at home again, especially if Bobrovsky's going in net. The Rangers without Sammy Blais, they're at home against Montreal at 5 o'clock. Also at 5, wow, it's such a busy night. You got Pittsburgh and Buffalo tonight. Pittsburgh's minus 250 on the money line. St. Louis at home against Arizona, easy win there. It's probably a parlay night, guys. I'm not even going to kid you. I think it's probably time to chuck down a five-team parlay. Chuck 10 bucks on it. See what you end up with at the end of the night. You're probably getting a nice dinner after because there is a lot of teams. A lot of heavy favorites here tonight. You also got Vegas at home. They're underdogs against Carolina. I don't mind that. Home dogs for Vegas? That's not a bad one. You also got Washington and Anaheim. Obviously, the Sens game against New Jersey is postponed. Their next three are postponed. So not going to play New Jersey tonight. Not going to play Nashville on Thursday. Not going to play the Rangers on Saturday. Also tonight, Dallas and Detroit. I don't mind Detroit as a dog in Dallas. The Stars, they really don't scare me. Do they scare anyone? Are they even good anymore? Hudobin's not what he is. Then you got Holtby. I don't mind that Ottinger kid. I don't know if he's ready yet, though. It's a tough one. My prediction for the Oilers and Jets, I'll leave you with this. I think it's going to be a 3-2 game. Unfortunately, might have to go with Winnipeg on this one. Sorry, Thursday, it's a new story. We will talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place, everyone. As always, be kind, be better.